Come along, children. Now we're going to have a little music, like old times. Look, now I'll start the melody on the organ.
It's Feather Rock with Bill and Ella. It's Feather Rock and sometimes Liam. It's Feather Rock time. It's time for Feather Rock.
It is Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, Indie Music for Any Kids. Come to you from our flagship station, KUTX 98.9. Bill Childs with you as I am every week. Right here, it's going to be They Might Be Giants doing an exclusive in-studio version of Dr. Worm. And then we're going to play an interview we did with They Might Be Giants. It's backstage at a venue in Minneapolis, and there's a sound check going on at roughly the same time, especially towards the end. So it's a little bit loud in some bits, but I think you can hear all of it, and it's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun chatting with them. So here we go. They Might Be Giants, Dr. Worm.
I'm interested in things. I'm not a real doctor, but I am a real worm. I am an actual worm. I live like a worm. I like to play the drums. I think I'm getting good, but I can handle criticism. I'll show you what I know, and you can tell me if you think I'm getting better.
Backstage, I don't know, this is kind of backstage. We're upstairs at First Avenue with John and John from They Might Be Giants. It is great to see you again. So I'm going to let the kids ask some questions too, as has been the tradition going back 19 years now. But I want to ask a couple things first. You're back on the road on, I think, is it called the Big Show Tour?
Yeah, because there was no other thing to call it, yeah.
We ran out of names.
Yeah.
It's the Big Show. There were some bumps in touring. There was COVID, and then Flange was a rough car accident. How is it like to be back? I mean, I know you've been back out for a little while now, but do you find it different now?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, post, I think, feel like post COVID, I don't know, you know, I don't think of myself as like a sentimental person by temperament, but I think in everything after COVID is kind of reframed in a much more like, this is our lives kind of way.
We get to do this thing.
That is like, in some ways, you know, it's kind of, you know, melodramatic, but in other ways, it's actually just very warm. Yeah. You know, it just makes you realize, like, you know, listen, it, you know, having a long career in anything will make, you know, has a tendency to sort of make people hardened and embittered and, yeah. and sort of resentful of everything and everyone around them. But you know, I think it's sort of been this great kind of sweetener in a weird way. I'm just like, I feel like I have more gratitude.
Yeah. Good. For you, John?
John's the same.
I don't know. I mean, I feel a little differently. I think that I'm much more aware of the difference between touring now and 30 years ago in terms of like physically. Yeah. And that, so for doing these stands, multiple stands in cities is a massive improvement. You know, I think it's tempting to just continue as you have always done, but we're just not physically as robust as we once were, but we want to actually do a fully satisfying show. So how do we do that? You know.
Yeah.
But just to pile on to what you're saying, but I don't think we were ever up for it. Frankly, I think a lot of times. I mean, I just think about the main thing was just like we have to keep on going no matter how. I mean, think about how many shows we did where like you had the flu or I had the flu, or we both had the flu.
We've always had these concerns, but I would say I'm noticing it's different now.
Yeah. Maybe you're at a point where you can adjust what you're doing rather than having to adjust to it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to run the show basically.
Yeah.
And it's also nice to have like all this different material. I mean, we're doing like tonight we're doing essentially a different show than we did last night, and that's a really interesting musical challenge, but it's also, you know, a treat for, I mean, it's just fun.
And so it has been a number of years now since you did any kids records, and my sense is that maybe you're kind of done with doing kids music. Is that?
Yeah, I think like we did the Y album, that was like the fifth one.
Yeah.
And then it's, I don't know, I mean, there's nothing, I would never say never, but, you know, that mode, I think when we came at it with a lot of energy and then at a certain point it was just like, I think we just, it's just a different way of, it's not quite as wide open as writing for adults.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, it doesn't necessarily, like, it doesn't seem like it shouldn't be, but.
There'll be a point when our core audience are grandparents, and then we'll go back.
I mean, it's one of the things that I was thinking about, because I think you've talked about how when you were doing that, especially the non-sort of themed albums, sometimes there were songs that you wrote and you realized it was going to work as a kid's song. I think I remember you saying that. Do you still find yourself writing a song and saying, oh, that actually would work as a kid's song? Or?
Oh, not me.
Nothing but swears.
Nothing.
I don't think in those terms, no. I mean, okay. I you know.
You drive
something. I think I'm probably less than John even really conscious of who this is actually for, aside from us. You know,
yeah. I mean, well, I think we both tend to lean on cultural reference points a lot. So it's that seems like inherently adult.
Have you been reading anything interesting lately?
Should we go down the list? What did I read last year? I read two African novels.
Okay.
I read, and these are like things you're supposed to read in high school, but I'd never read Things Fall Apart. What a great book. I love contemporary books, but it's really cool to go back and read something that is one of the great things in the past, because then, you know, it's sort of like you're not limited to just what's out this year. What else? Did you read the what's her name from Bikini Kill?
Or you? I didn't. I just heard an excerpt of it.
My wife is reading it now, and I'm gonna probably pick it up. It looks kind of fascinating.
How about you?
I need to look at my phone to see what I have. I've basically spent a lot of like the last 6 months listening to this 500 songs of rock music, which is just this very long format podcast about the history of rock. I mean, it's it's too long to be a book, basically. But it's really interesting, and I really am totally in love with this guy's voice. He's Scottish, and he speaks very gently. So it's like sort of gets, I get my, AMSR? ASMR?
Yes.
Right. Attack, sustain, delay, release.
Yes, yes. It's a form of synthesis.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I will hand it off to my co-host here if you have questions.
Sure. So y'all were talking a bunch about how you've been making music for so long now. This band has been part of your life for a lot of it. How has, like, the writing process changed for you with age and, like, the changing composition of the band?
Not much. I mean, I think we, you know, we still make demos at home. And since we got a band in the, you know, in the early 90s, I think we've had a pretty standard... I mean, we try and change it each and every time. We try and keep it different. But I would say the general format is demo at home, send it to the guys, go into the studio, you know. And sometimes it's, you know, the instrumentally different from, you know, from one song to another. But I think that's kind of the way...
I've
been working for 30 years now.
I feel like my demos keep getting more and more elaborate, and your demos keep on getting more and more streamlined.
So I guess, yeah.
I guess,
yeah.
I mean, on this thing, on the record that we just are sort of wrapping up now, you brought in demos that were just like vocals and chords.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
And that,
yeah.
that really felt like cheating to me. Right. Like, I was just like, I mean, one thing that did change in the middle of our process, like the first 10 years, the first decade of the band in the 80s, we, you know, we did a lot of home recording, and sometimes that was like, that's what it was. I mean, that was the thing that was on the record. And then when we went to working with a band, you know, that's, trying to make stuff that sounded as extreme as those home recordings was like kind of a bigger challenge. And then, but the sort of the, in a weird way, I think like kind of the best thing that happened to our the recording process is we started, and this sounds terrible, but because it sounds so mercenary, but we started doing a lot of advertising work and TV work in like the year 2000, when we got out of our Elektra deal and were sort of in the world again, and like, and we were answering our own phone. Like, we started getting all these jobs, and they always had really hard deadlines, and we had to figure out ways to do things that sounded super vivid, but also were kind of quick. And I think that could sort of helped change our aesthetic a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's also interesting that you sometimes like backfilled and dubbed some of those very extreme record things and figured out how to do them live, you know, fingerprints or things like that, which is it must be an interesting challenge for you.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have a great band, which really helps.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like really interesting to work
with. What's great is that they're now at this point where they're very opinionated about what a They Might Be Giants song is supposed to be, you know? Which,
yeah.
I mean, that's a great, we've reached this point now where they're telling us, no, that's
not what your band sounds like.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
Like the concept is being like more collectively understood.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah. I mean, we still get to boss them around, but they can be bossy as well.
Cool. That's great. Do you have any questions?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I would always ask impossible to answer trivia questions that I knew the answer to and the guest didn't.
What was one of the first things that Benjamin Franklin invented?
Which is charming when I was like 6, and I think less charming now.
Oh, so, stick to it.
No, that's what I said.
Do you remember this at all? It was like, what was Benjamin Franklin's inventions? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, I realized as I was sitting here trying to think of a question that I've never asked in an interview question as an adult. So I'm going to ask, would you, like, preference of silly nature things, coniferous or deciduous forest?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
I'm not even sure what a deciduous forest is.
It's like a non-coniferous forest.
Well, I mean...
More oak stuff.
The leaves come off in the...
Yeah.
In the
right, I'm surrounded... My whole world is like, I'm overwhelmed by coniferousness. Mm-hmm. So I guess I would find deciduousness to be an interesting contrast. I think it would be grander.
Yeah.
I think you need both. I planted a maple tree that's supposed to apparently grow to like 50 feet tall, and it's going to spread out, but it's, you know, it's, this is going to take a while, obviously. It's only a little taller than me now after a couple of years. I may be gone.
Oh, no. It's a huge, it's a pretty immediate payoff if you got a big enough, if 15 years ago, I planted like 24 trees on my property, and I got some slightly older ones, and they're just, it's awesome.
Did the stick you're touring with come from the property?
That came from one of the old, older ones.
Y'all from New York, right?
Yeah.
The forest out there, the really old growth stuff, I think, is mostly beeches, but there's very little old growth forest out there.
You mean like beech trees?
Yeah, like beech trees.
Yeah. I have some beech trees.
Yeah,
because the really old stuff all got cut down.
There's no
old growth forest. Aubrey, do you have any questions for the band?
Yeah, a couple. Bill asked earlier about your reading, stuff that you're reading recently. I'm interested to hear more about like what you guys were reading when you started, before you started, throughout the process.
Sure.
It's a natural thing, you know, hear it and think, what were these guys reading? You know?
Right.
So stuff that stuck with you just in general.
Well, I could say there was a point where I was sort of obsessively into this 60s, like, weirdo avant-garde stuff, and I think it really did have an impact on at least my end of the songwriting. I was very into Donald Barthelme, starting as a probably in my late teens. Mm-hmm. I think John knows this.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I just love the inexplicable craziness of his writing, and I think I wanted to write songs somehow and also be Donald Barthelme at the same time, and you know. So that was, you know, and I'm probably still, like, afflicted with some of that.
In my 20s, I feel like I ended up reading, like, a lot more poetry than, like, I got into Langston Hughes, who's, like, a Harlem Renaissance poet, and a lot of his stuff is very, I mean, it's very jazzy, but it sort of feels like songs in a way. And there's something very, like, loose about it that's very cool, even though it is, like, verse. So, but...
Yes.
Oh, this part of the show.
All right, well, I don't think we can hear you anymore on this. It's really good to see you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good talking to you guys.
Well, did you know that fruit? Did you know that? Oh, did you know that fruits and vegetables come in lots of different colors? Yeah, fruit. Well, did you know that fruit? Oh, did you know that fruits and vegetables come in lots of different colors? Like red. Oh, yeah, like red. Well, can you name a fruit or a vegetable that's red? Did you know that fruit? Oh, did you know that fruit? Yeah, did you know that fruits and vegetables come in lots of different colors? Yeah, fruit. Oh, did you know that fruit? Well, did you know that fruits and vegetables come in lots of different colors? Like brown.
Potatoes, potatoes, potatoes are brown. Potatoes, potatoes, potatoes.
did you know that fruit? Well, did you know that fruit? Yeah, did you know that fruits and vegetables come in lots of different colors? Yeah, fruit. Did you know that fruit? Did you know that fruits and vegetables come in lots of different colors? Like purple. Did you know that fruits? Well, did you know that fruits? Did you know that fruits and vegetables come in lots of different colors? Yeah, fruits. Oh, did you know that fruits? Well, did you know that fruits and vegetables come in lots of different colors? Like green.
Compilation from I think 2015 called All Around This World. It's East African musicians performing We Are Happy here on Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child. And thanks again for the Mammoth Giants from the Johns for making some time to chat with us about things relating to forests and books and all sorts of other stuff. It was great to chat with them and to see them play some shows last weekend. It is Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child, music for kids and their grown-ups. I'm Bill Childs, and here's the point in the show when I need your help. Here is what's going to happen. I'm going to ask you if you have a question, you're going to say yes. And then I'm going to ask you what that question is, and you're going to yell as loudly as you can. So loudly, I can hear you here in the studio through feet and feet of soundproofing. You're going to yell, are you prepared to rock? Okay, got it? Cool. Hey, everybody. Do you have a question for me? You do. Excellent. What is that question? I am, in fact, prepared to rock, but first advice from They Might Be Giants.
Consideration is the thing we call the rock. Second on the list is a rock child, a child that's been fully prepared. Prepare to rock, don't spare the rock. Prepare to rock, don't spare the rock now. Bill, Ella, sometimes they rock, rock, don't spare the rock.
New music from Lucky Diaz. The song is called Dame Cinco. On Spare the Rock, Spoil the Child.